Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, we've talked many times on this show about adaptive tools and other services that are available for the visually impaired, but what happens if you also have a problem with your hearing?
We'll speak with Jonathan Mosen, who's been blind since birth and has more recently developed a hearing loss, about special considerations for people in this situation. And towards the end of the show, we'll be talking with Jonathan about his current blindness-related ventures. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is some advice from Jonathan about selecting hearing aids for a person with vision loss.
Understanding that a fair amount of customization needs to be done to suit one's lifestyle and particular needs, is there any general advice that you can give people?
The general advice I would give really is to find a good audiologist who understands, even if you can't explain things in auditory terms or technical terms, if you can make that audiologist understand that a lot of hearing aid users supplement their hearing with their vision, and that for you that's not an option, then you could have a very good partnership going on, because it is a partnership and it will take a lot of work. And if you don't believe that if you don't believe the audiologist gets that, then go to another audiologist if you possibly can. Some people feel a little bit guilty or something about going to another medical professional, asking for your records to be transferred, all of that sort of thing. Look, this is too important to worry about offending somebody. If they're not meeting your needs, your hearing, it's not just about your socialization, your potential employment, it's also about your safety. And that's just not worth toying with.
And later in the show, we'll be talking more specifically about some of the solutions that Jonathan has found for himself and some of the challenges that he's had to overcome.
And maybe his particular solutions might not be applicable to your situation, but his approach is a very good one and should yield good results for pretty much anybody. Let's start by meeting Jonathan Mosen.
I'm Jonathan Mosen, and I'm totally blind, and I live in New Zealand, and I have a number of hats that I wear. I run my own consultancy company called Mosen Consulting. I also work with Freedom Scientific, where you might recognize my voice from FS Cast, and it's good to be back.
You said you're totally blind. Can you describe what the cause of that was?
It's called Norrie's syndrome, which results in total blindness from birth.
Many of our listeners may know that you're totally blind, and we talked about this in previous shows, but what was news to me when I saw some of your blogs several months ago was that you also had some hearing difficulties, and we want to make that the focus of this show. Can you talk a little about that?
Yes, well, Norrie syndrome does come with a degenerative hearing condition, and there are a number of these X-linked conditions going on where sometimes a significant hearing loss is what you're born with, and your vision deteriorates over time. It's kind of like retinitis pigmentosa, but with a hearing impairment. But in my case, the blindness is total and the hearing is degenerative. And some people get to the point with Norrie's where they have cochlear implants, but not everybody. So the degree of degenerative hearing will vary quite a bit.
Now, Jonathan said he was glad to be back. He's been on this show many times in the last 3.5 years that we've been airing it, and you can find all of his shows by using the search tool on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net. But he's spoken about some of the highlights at the CSUN conference, new features of a release of JAWS, how to use social media and accessibility features in iOS 7.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is special considerations for blind people who develop hearing loss. So I'm curious, you said that the transition to having a noticeable hearing loss has been much more difficult for you. Now, of course, the transition to blindness you never really had because you were born blind. But do you think the difference is more related to the fact that you were already an adult when you started having auditory problems, or because of the distinction between hearing and seeing, or what?
I think the issue is that because I was born blind, I have no idea what it's like to see. So I literally don't know what I'm missing. And I think most blind people, particularly blind teenagers, do go through those phases where you think, man, I wish I could get in the car and just drive somewhere like everybody else. Or maybe if I wasn't blind, this girl might like me. Or when a girl does like you, what are they going to say when you go home to meet her parents for the first time and she's bringing a blind guy home? I mean, I think we all go through some element of self-examination. But for me, the issue with the hearing is and was that I did have normal hearing as a kid, and I love my music and I love my broadcasting. I've had a career in broadcasting and I still keep my hand in doing internet broadcasting. So I know what it is to hear properly. And every so often I would experience these bouts of significant hearing loss. Literally, you would wake up in the morning and it would be like somebody had put a muffler over one of your ears. Normally it would be one ear that would go out at a time. And it was really scary. And sometimes it would come back and sometimes it would not come completely back. And so it's the insidiousness of it. It's the fact that you know what you're missing. And I suppose the one good thing about this is that it has made me a lot more sympathetic towards people who have gone blind later in life or who have degenerative conditions, because I now understand that sense of loss that they feel. But I've also tried to take inspiration from mentors in the blindness space who I know have been an inspiration to blind people who've gone through that, you know, people like Kenneth Jernigan and Paul Edwards and people who are very well adjusted and articulate. And say, look, with the proper equipment and the proper training, I can still function as somebody with a hearing impairment. And although it does upset me sometimes still, I've tried to get on with life and I still do my broadcasting and I'm still delighted to have four beautiful children and a wonderful partner who cares and doesn't run repeating herself a bit. So I haven't got too much to complain about.
Yeah, I think these transitions can be difficult. I mean, as you say, you and I have both been blind since birth, and so you've been introduced to these techniques. You really haven't lost anything, and you've developed the infrastructure. But going through the transitions, you sort of have to learn these again and sometimes readjust your life.
Yes, I think that's right. There have been a number of transitions. In the early 90s, I started noticing that I would have an increasing number of these bouts of hearing loss, and nobody quite knows what causes them or how to fix them. And so when they first started to happen to me, they would put me in hospital and connect me to an intravenous drip and feed me with all kinds of things that might just do the trick. And sometimes they did. And then I started to realize that actually I don't think there was any correlation between whether I was in hospital and whether they came back. It was either going to come back or it didn't come back, and the hospital thing was pretty traumatic. So I've got used to that, and then I started wearing hearing aids for the first time, which was another big adjustment.
I've heard that many people have difficulty adjusting to using hearing aids.
Hearing aids are not like glasses. When you've got glasses on and they have corrected your vision, you're really seeing no differently from somebody with out glasses. But in the cases of hearing aids, it's not like that. It's not like even somebody with moderate hearing loss can have hearing aids in and have fully restored hearing again, because they've just not invented anything that comes close to the complexity of the human ear. They're getting pretty good, and there's some really cool digital technology out there, but it isn't the same.
So that's an interesting point. There's a lot of elderly people who lose their hearing slowly over time. And I remember both of us have had this discussion with our mothers who clearly needed hearing aids, both of whom wore glasses, and we'd say to them, look, you don't mind wearing your glasses, why don't you put in your hearing aids so you can hear us? But I guess part of it is, as you say, it's not quite as one for one as putting on glasses, not quite as transparent.
No, it isn't. It really isn't. And also, if you're used to subpar hearing for a while, everything is very, very loud. And you can, the brain is a really adaptable organ. So you can learn to work with hearing aids. And even though they may seem a little difficult at first, you can learn to work with them better than initially you do. This leads us on nicely to the whole business of being a blind person who needs hearing aids, because you've got a whole set of very unique problems in that case.
That's a very different issue, isn't it?
Yeah. You see, because most people who wear hearing aids who can see are obviously using a mixture of their senses. And so when they approach a busy street that they want to cross, for example, they would prefer the traffic sounds to be dulled just like any other noise, because they can see when it's safe to cross. In the case of a blind person, the complexity that you have is that obviously if you are in a crowded environment, like an exhibit hall or in a restaurant, and it's so annoying how many restaurants are difficult to have a conversation in when you've got a hearing impairment, or even when you haven't, because they've got high ceilings, they've got wooden floors where the sound bounces off them, and often they have loud music, and it's very difficult to have a conversation when you've got full hearing, let alone when you're wearing hearing aids.
I think a lot of sighted people partially lip read in those situations.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what's going on.
I mean, even when I had perfect hearing, you know, sighted people in the room could tell what was going on in a conversation better than I could.
Yeah, for sure.
That happens with the two of us over and over and over. You know, we'll be trying to talk to somebody in a crowded, noisy environment, and I'm not having a problem, and Pete is, and it's not because my hearing's any better.
Right. That's a very good point. In that situation, everybody wants to have background noise cut down, and today's digital hearing technology is getting pretty smart at this. They're basically putting little computers in your ear, and those computers are making many, many judgments per second about what is noise and what is speech. And they're trying to use equalization, and they have a couple of mics, so they use the kind of same noise cancelling technology that you might have in a pair of noise cancelling headphones, for example, to try and amplify the noise that matters and filter out the noise that's superfluous. Well, that's great in a restaurant, but the trick is trying to get a combination of factors so that you can function in a restaurant, but you're not going to get hit by a car because you didn't hear it when you were crossing the street.
Right. You don't want to blank out the car noise as being background.
Yes, exactly. Most hearing aids will detect it as background. And so there are multiple programs that you can get on today's digital hearing technology. And so I always get an audiologist to give me one that basically doesn't have a lot of filtering at all, which I switch to if I'm crossing a street and that kind of thing. But the difficulty is that a lot of audiologists have not been trained to understand the complexities of dealing with a patient who is also blind. And a lot of blind people are very vulnerable. I mean, when I go into the audiologist to get some sort of adjustment done or even new hearing aids, I feel very vulnerable because the first thing they'll do is they'll take an audiogram where they give you a hearing test, they play beeps in your ears and get you to repeat words to check just how hearing impaired you are. And I find it very upsetting, you know, because I know that there'll be some deterioration. So by the time we actually get on to discussing what my needs are, I'm in a pretty vulnerable state because there's more bad news. And I'm a trained advocate. I've made my living for some years as an advocate. And even I find that a very trying environment.
So, Jonathan, you mentioned a couple of times about training the audiologist. Can you give an example of what you mean by that?
An example which I think most blind people will relate to that's really easy to understand is we were talking about FM systems. And these are the systems that you get which offer an external microphone. And an individual can hold that microphone, say you're in a car, and you're in the back seat and somebody is a passenger in the front seat and you're trying to talk to them on a long car journey, that's quite difficult when you're wearing hearing aids, but you can hand over the microphone for the FM system and that works. What though if you're going into an environment that I was talking about just before, where you're speaking to a group of people like a parliamentary committee and you're going to struggle just with the hearing aids? When you're wearing two hearing aids, you obviously get some degree of spatial awareness. So you know when somebody's coming from your left-hand side and when somebody's coming from your right. But the FM systems are mono. And so you can put a microphone in the middle of a table and then you can really clearly hear all of the speakers who are asking you questions. But what you've lost then is the ability to tell where that voice is coming from, because it's coming from a central mono source. And it has taken me a lot of explaining to many audiologists to make them understand that while you get the clarity from an FM system, it's a huge disadvantage that they are not in stereo, because everything's coming from the center and you don't know where to look as a blind person. You don't know where to turn your face to.
The other thing that interested me and piqued my attention with your blog was you talked about combining several technologies. So we have some technologies that are good for blind folks, like VoiceOver on the iPhone, and we have hearing aids that are good for folks who, you know, can't hear so well. But then combining some of these technologies seemed to be somewhat of an issue also.
Yeah, I mean, when I get the right audiologist, they learn to love me because I'm a very challenging patient. And also, I think because I've had an audio background in audio production and broadcasting, I can articulate to them exactly what's unsatisfactory. So I'm demanding, but I make no apologies for that because this is my hearing we're talking about, and I'm so reliant on it. So in the case of the technologies, one of the things when I was getting my hearing aids last year was everybody said, wow, this is going to be so much better for you because you use an iPhone and you can pair it via Bluetooth with this device now. And that way you don't have any cables to worry about and it's all just going to be so much easier. What I found though was that when I did that, there was latency that was significant enough that when I was flicking through my home screen or flicking through an application, it felt noticeably laggy.
So now for people who don't do a lot of audio work, latency is a slight delay between when you do something and when something happens.
You got it. It's a delay. And when you are doing things like typing on a virtual keyboard where you touch something and you instantly need to hear what it is that you've touched, it really can make the experience very, very difficult. I also found that when plugging in a cable to this same device, there was a kind of a fading in and out, which made my audio production work for my podcast and the radio show I do and other things really suboptimal. And I was very fortunate that I was able to make it very clear that this was not acceptable to me. I asked if there was a more analog way of interfacing with these new hearing aids. And finally, they got me in touch with the representative of the manufacturer of the aids here in New Zealand, who fortunately knew exactly what I was on about, and we got a solution that was a bit more retro, where I now have a cable running from the hearing aids to the headphone jack of the iPhone, and I've got no latency issues, and I'm back to the way that I wanted to be. But what concerns me about all this is I was only able to get that done because, first, I'm persistent and I don't give up, and secondly, I had that audio and technical background, and I worry, you know, about how many people who are not getting the optimal technological experience that they could be because they're just not clear how to articulate the problems that they're facing or that they can't get anybody who will listen.
So now, Jonathan, one of the things you talked about in your blog was the characteristics of hearing aids that one might prefer as a visually impaired person. Can you review some of those?
Well, I think the most flexible option is the best. A lot of these devices, I think, are designed for people who are less tech savvy, either the very young who need a simple device in an education setting, or the elderly who may have not grown up with so many technological choices. But then you have people who are experiencing hearing loss who are becoming increasingly tech savvy. So hearing aids with a lot of adjustable programs where you can have the audiologist configure a whole bunch of programs, that's ideal. Also, technology that allows you to connect a range of sources. So, you know, analog, Bluetooth, FM, that's important as well so that you can make the most of the situation that you're in. For example, the device that didn't work out for me when I was pairing the iPhone or working with my studio did actually work for watching TV with my family. Through that device, I use a Phonak device called the TV Link, which actually plugs into our home theater system. And it really has revolutionized the way I socialize. I always felt kind of out of the loop when the kids and Bonnie were watching the TV because I wouldn't want them to have it too loud. Even when they did, sometimes the dialogue was just going so fast, I didn't feel like I was really appreciating it anyway. And now I have the TV Link so that I can sit on the couch. They can have the home theater going at a comfortable volume for them. And I have the sound in stereo going into my ears at a level comfortable for me. And because it's so direct, it sounds great. So that has really helped a lot. You know, I've got a lot more to talk about with my kids. We watch things together. It's wonderful.
Similar to the blindness field, where there are a number of technologies that sort of complement each other to address various issues, it sounds like you can't rely on one device for audio, that there must be a combination.
That's right. And I think just like in the blindness space, it requires us to have a greater degree of tech savviness to really understand the choices that we have. So if you're going to make an informed decision, it is a good idea to try and read blogs and get reviews. Mindful, of course, that hearing is a very personal thing. So something that's absolutely wonderful to one person may not be suitable for your particular hearing impairment or may be configured in a different way. But certainly in all things medical, and I think, you know, hearing aid technology is generally considered medical, the internet is a great leveler.
You mentioned a number of times that the more modern hearing aids come with multiple programs and that you might prefer to use one when you're inside in a noisy room and a different setting when you're outside in traffic. How easy is it to switch from one to the other?
Very easy. On the hearing aids that I have, there's a little button that you press and you have to toggle through the programs, and they make a distinct audible tone for each of the programs that you have, so you know audibly which program that you're on. Most hearing aids will come with an automatic program. It's called a different thing depending on the manufacturer that you have, but the idea is that the hearing aid will try and make an intelligent decision about the kind of environment you are in and the program that you need. So for example, if you're sitting in front of the TV and music is playing and nobody's talking, it will decide, okay, you're listening to this music. But if you are in an environment where music is playing and someone is talking, then it will decide, okay, the music is background noise. Let's try and filter that out as best we can. And if the hearing aid gets it wrong, then you have those manual controls to override it. Also, there are remote controls that you can get. Some of them are on watches, which may be of limited value for us, obviously, because we can't read the time on the watch. And some of them are on a remote control that you might have in your pocket or around your neck. And the advantage of that is that if you're in a job interview situation or some other situation where you don't want to draw too much attention to your hearing impairment by putting your hand up to your ear and pushing the button, you may be able to make the adjustments with the control that's in your pocket, either just adjusting the volume or the program, and nobody's any the wiser.
Now for this week's final item, some of Jonathan's current blindness-related ventures.
Now you have a fairly recent venture that you started called AppCessible. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, AppCessible is a venture which is geared at app developers, mobile app developers. And we are a small team of blind people who work with application developers to help make their apps accessible. The idea is that we're a significant market now. A lot of people have smartphones, particularly iPhones, and an increasing number of Android devices now. And so this is not just the right thing to do from a moral point of view. It actually makes business sense. And it does not make business sense to turn a blind eye, if you will, at a large group of people who want to buy apps and can use them. So that's been going really well for us. And hopefully in the process, we're trying to make the world a more accessible place.
And can people get to appsessible from mosen.org also?
Yes, there's a link there. And also the main website is appsessible.net. So that's appsessible.net.
Now, I understand you also have a new role at Freedom Scientific, and I'm sure people are curious to learn a little about that.
Yes. For the last 6 months or so, I've been back at Freedom Scientific. We agreed on a transitional phase where I would do FS cast for Freedom after I left, and that was announced in a media release. And I agreed to produce another 6 FS casts. And Freedom Scientific has undergone quite a lot of change in the last year with new leadership. And I was approached to rejoin Freedom Scientific in this new role, looking after blindness communications. And I was really excited to do that because I think Freedom Scientific make the best screen reader by a long, long way. They have a whole lot of other great products. And for me to have the opportunity to get that message out there and also to encourage members of the public, customers, to feedback and let us know what they would like to see added or changed or enhanced was a real privilege. So it's great to be involved with Freedom once again in that new role.
And we really appreciate you coming on Eyes on Success over and over and over, because as it says on your website, nobody explains stuff like Jonathan.
Well, I appreciate your interest. I really do. And I hope that this particular topic, which is something I'm just still getting used to speaking about, I hope that it will help somebody who may be struggling with these same sorts of issues.
Can you tell people how to get to your website and also the blog of yours that has a lot of good information and discussions?
Yeah, the website is at mosen.org, which is my last name, mosen.org. And on that page, you'll find the store where you can get the books and audio tutorials that I've produced. And the blog is there as well, where we talk about a range of things. A lot of it technological, but not all of it. And people leave comments on the blog. There's a bit of discussion that goes on there. So people are very welcome to visit.
And if you go to the show notes for this show, we'll have links to Jonathan's website, his Appsessible website, his blog, and all the other information that you might want to find from listening to this show.
That's it for show number 1429. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Judy Dixon, author of Get the Picture, Viewing the World with the iPhone Camera, a book that provides information to help you use the camera to perform many daily tasks, including identifying currency, recognizing objects, reading text, or even taking photographs. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.